Welcome everybody to the Erev. We're going to try to listen. I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions that I won't address, but we'll try to talk about a few main points, basically covering different aspects of Hilchas Chanukah. And then we'll, since we're coming off the Muktzah series, let's talk about Hilchas Muktzah and Chanukah. Nothing to do with Shabbos. However, there is a halacha that is very important to know, and that is that there's a category of Muktzah mitzvah. Muktzah due to an item having been designated for a mitzvah purpose. For example, on Chol HaMoed of Sukkot, are you allowed to mas mitzvah? They are muktzah, they are designated mitzvah. And I don't want to say it's as though you gave it to the Beis HaMikdash, but anything that you're supposed to consume it in a way that will be prevented from being available for that mitzvah purpose. Can't eat an apple or a pear or a grape. Similarly, the post problem. Let's say I pour a lamp, I have a candle in my chanukah. It's not a problem. But that oil that you designated for mitzvah purpose, and now it ended up not burning, you are not allowed to do anything else. Therefore, the poskim suggests that before you light, you're careful to make a designation in your mind and say, oil is not designated for mitzvah. Meaning that whatever gets burnt up, fine, that I never had in mind in the first place. Just one little, it's not as bad as it sounds. Most poskim assume, and that's 6-7. There, the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah point out that most poskim hold that pour more than the amount of oil that has to be you need in your menorah. Half hour. So anything more than a half hour, most poskim say that's extra. That's not designated to mitzvah. In fact, we're going to see later, you're even allowed to put it out if you want. Let's say you have a big oil thing or a big candle and you light it, and 45 minutes after you light, you know, your friend from down the hall calls you and says, you want to... So you say, sure, but my candles are burning. I tell you, of course you could put out your Chanukah candles. They burn for half an hour. So that shows you that the oil is not really the inconvenience for you. However, the first half hour's oil, that is what you did designate to a mitzvah. So there, that's the only oil we're really worried about, that let's say it goes to 15 minutes or 20 minutes, you have 10 minutes of oil left that was designated for the mitzvah, and it didn't end up getting consumed by the mitzvah. So that amount of oil will be muktzah, machmas, mitzvah, which has nothing to do with Shabbos, which has to do with any mitzvah for which you designated a certain consumable item. So the way out of it, the post can say you have to be worried about even the extra oil. Tomorrow night, I hereby decide that anything that I know for this Chanukah, whatever ends up getting burnt, that's for the mitzvah. Whatever doesn't end up getting burnt, I am not designated. And that is Hilchas Muktzah on Chanukah. Fine. Now let's go to, and it also happens to work perfectly, because when are you oil or candle that you might have designated for the mitzvah? So this is really the perfect time to talk about lighting candles, and but you should all have wondered about it. What light? Who has to light? Where do you have to light? One per household per night. It's ner, ish u beito, candle. Says the Gemara, there's a mahadrin. One every night. Ner l'kol echad. So on the fourth, I have how many? Four. Ophir, you're right. She sits next to you, she pretends to be her friend, and then publicly she... Yes, you're right, Ophir, person per night. So that means on the seventh night, last night of Chanukah, if you have one person, comes the Gemara and says, and listen very carefully to how the Gemara says it, Mahadrin, min ha-Mahadrin, is... That's what I would think. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Mahadrin, min ha-Mahadrin. Actually, the Gemara doesn't say it. The Gemara says it's a machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai says 8 to 1, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Beit Hillel says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Most people, yes. The Gemara says that the base mitzvah is one per person. Mahadrin is one per person, unrelated to which night of Chanukah you're at.
One candle.
One candle per person, unrelated to which. Concludes the Gemara. Mahadrin is, according to Beit Shammai, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. According to Beis Hillel, one is machlokas Rishonim, whether level, there's level 1, 2, 3, level base, mahadrin, or mahadrin, min ha-mahadrin. There's machlokas Rishonim, whether level 3, mahadrin, min ha-mahadrin, is an independent level, or is it base, meaning the middle level was that you have to, and then the Ashkenazim, which is probably what you're familiar with, says, okay, you have to have one per person, that's for mahadrin, mahadrin, min ha-mahadrin, will up that and say you have to have one per person, but not one candle per person, one menorah per person. And depending on how many candles it is that night, you'll have, let's say, on the seventh night, I'll have my seven candles, you'll have your seven candles, and you'll have Mazin Paskin. The Sfaradim don't Paskin like that. They say, no, take the Gemara at face value, And the Gemara says, Mahadrin min ha-mahadrin is just that you have one. But it doesn't say that you have to have... That's a different way. That's called the Mahadrin level. Mahadrin is one thing. Mahadrin min ha-mahadrin, according to the Sfaradim, is two separate, isolated, not building one upon the other, distinct entities. Mahadrin min ha-mahadrin is ice. So according to the Sfaradim, let's say you have 10 people in your... On the second 10 people. But according to the Sfaradim, the Mahadrin min ha-mahadrin candles. Only one menorah with two candles on it. So it ends up, where did you have to spend more money? According to the Sfaradim. According to the Ashkenazim, the old first level is regular mitzvah is one candle. Next mitzvah, oh, there are two people in my family, so there are two candles. And the next level, Mahadrin min ha-mahadrin, is a menorah for you and a menorah for me. Two people. So this is an interesting Hashem. Now, the question that you all should have asked yourselves your entire lives, let's think for a minute. Take out your... Put it on tight. Once you do a mitzvah, could you do it again making a bracha? Let me give you an example. Could you shake lulav later, like half an hour later, and make a bracha on the lulav? Of course not. Let's ask another question. Once you... Could you light Shabbos candles 5 minutes later? Let's say before it's Shabbos. And make another... That's the case. Once somebody in the family has already lit, the family has been exempted. Everybody in the family has fulfilled. Your obligation has been fulfilled. Your yotzi is it that you go ahead and light candles just 2 minutes later and you make a bracha on it. You're ready.
My father shakes and I would shake it.
Yeah, but by lulav does it say that your father's shaking? Here, the mitzvah is near Yishu Beito. And you're part of that bayit. So you fulfilled your mitzvah and your mother fulfilled her mitzvah and all your brothers and sisters fulfilled their mitzvah with your father's. Now you're going to go, you fulfilled your mitzvah, you're going to go ahead and light again with a bracha. That's an excellent question. That's because there's somebody involved.
My understanding.
I thought we just said.
Sure.
Okay, so can I ask you a question? Let's say you shake a lulav and esrog. And then later you get, and now you're going to do a mahadrin. But what will be the answer there will work here also. Exactly. Anyone who plans on doing a mitzvah later, what kavan are you having when that original mitzvah was being done? Specific kavanah. And we see from various sources that you can have specific kavanah to not be yotzei, and therefore you were not yotzei. But since the first time around you had kavanah not to be yotzei, you have not been yotzei, even though theoretically, if your brain had been turned off, you would have been yotzei. But now that you had explicit kavanah, then you shouldn't make a bracha. Once you intend to light 2 minutes later, they go hand in hand. I don't think you have to say this lighter. I don't think you have to have that going through your brain. If you're saying, I'm going to wait till my father lights and my older brother light, that by definition is the implicit, unspoken kavanah. So that's great. That's great. Then you don't have to have negative kavanah. The difference is, that you have different kavanah not to be open. Fine. Let's talk about chiyuv of women in general in Hilchos Chanukah. Is a woman obligated?
Yeah.
Let's start backwards. Is Chanukah a mitzvah asay or a mitzvah aslo? Trick question. Is mitzvah menorah a mitzvah asay? It's an asay. Everyone agrees to that, or is somebody saying? Let's back up one step. Is Chanukah midoraisa or midoraisa? Fine. Now midorabanan, it's mitzvah asay or mitzvah aslo asay? Okay, so here's man grama. So in general, we know that mitzvah asay, shasman grama, whether doraisos or doraisos. Sha'af hain, says the Gemara, sha'af, women are nevertheless chayavos, because sha'af hain, hayu, ba'oso hanes. There's machlokas rishon, and what does that mean? What does it mean that women were part of the salvation? They were in the salvation. This question also manifests itself in the mitzvah of dalet kosos. Isn't a mitzvah asay shasman grama? Mitzvah asay midrabanu shasman grama? Yes. So why are women obligated, says the Gemara? Sha'af hein hoya ba'osa hanes. This is the same question as Kriyas Megillah. Mitzvah asay shasman grama, but sha'af hein hoya ba'osa hanes. Well, there's machlokes rishonim in all three places, and all three places will have the that women were subject to the... They were also saved amongst the rest of Klal Yisrael, so just as they were saved equally to men who were saved. So they, just like the men have to express their thanks to whatever mitzvah it is, so to the women do. And that applies in all three. Women were subjugated to the Shibud, women were in Mitzrayim, women were certainly meant to be killed. So the Rishonim say that the women were also, the bishops would take advantage of the women before they would get married, and the women were therefore also oppressed in the Chanukah story. That's one opinion in the Rishonim. The other opinion in the Rishonim says that in order to be Mechayiv, what it means is that they were in the Nes, meaning they were instrumental in bringing about the Yeshua. And once again, in all three scenarios, you do have women instrumental in bringing the Yeshua. Megillas Esther is the most obvious Esther. By us, we have who? Yehudit, right? And finally, by Pesach. So, under all circumstances, women are obligated. Here you have a funny thing. Even though Minhagim developed otherwise. What do I mean by that? Minhagim developed that, first of all, married women, halachic principle of Ishto Kegufo, that a husband and wife are considered one unit, and they fulfill their mitzvah with the husband's lighting, because they're one unit, which is sort of funny, because now she's getting married, she is no less mechuyeves, it's that she is mechuyeves 100%, but she just fulfills it. What about not married women? So here, interpretation clear. A woman who is not at home is definitely mechuyeves to light. If she's a daughter at home, here some people in some minhagim develop that daughters would not light, and both minhagim are valid, and you should follow what your minhag is. You could probably do what you want. What would be a rationale that a minhag, not like the spirit of the Gemara? The Gemara says clearly that nashim are mechuyavos, clearly, black on white. Why would it even develop that the sons would all light, so it's not a question of, you know, again, if you're doing the mother, it could be anybody. It could be the daughter. In fact, what happens if the dad is also and he can't light? So he fulfills his lighting where? By his wife, or by mitzvah, light on his behalf in their house, because he fulfilled the main mitzvah near Yishu Beito, his bayit, and he... So, I saw a beautiful... It has its problems, conceptually, but the Chasam Sofer says a very interesting idea why they would develop a minhag. At least daughters wouldn't like. The Chasam Sofer says that originally, and we're going to talk about this in 5 minutes, originally the takana to light candles rule, although we do often outside the house. So the Chasam Sofer, since that origin was the way it was done, so it was deemed inappropriate on some level for the women to specifically go out and light if kol kvod bas melech penima. And therefore adds the outside but light inside, that original nihug, a cuss stuck around, and even though now that we light inside, and there's no reason of or lack of kol kvudas anyway, nevertheless, this somehow stuck along, even though they're fine. So, halacha lemaisa, no, they do not. The woman, the husband could light, and his wife will fulfill the mitzvah. The wife could light, and her husband. Okay, let's talk about another episode. That's a good question. What are the parameters in Eretz Yishuv Eisa? Is it bias family or is bias by the following question? Let's say you're in Shir Yon. Assuming that take that as a, let's assume that's a given. Am I right? Ron will have the Shir Yon members. Let's assume that you can't like. So the post can talk about what about plug in, you know, I spoke to somebody in the hospital, how's it going, what's happening with you, and he said that he's trying to figure out what to do about that. Does that constitute a fulfillment of the mitzvah? Again, if you have no other to do, the Yotzei on some level, at least according to some opinions, with lighting a lobbies of, you know, apartment building, make Jewish money, so you have a farce, but there's no other option. So it's not so simple, but on a very, 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 very b'diavad situation, that it has to be Beis HaMikdash. Just like the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, the ner, the menorah, had the fuel, the source of the energy for the flame, all present. You can't light with a menorah. It gets a continual influx of electrical current to keep the light on. According to that logic, there are theories. So, if you were in the Israeli army in Shir Yon, I would probably tell you, A, that you shouldn't be in Shir Yon, my friends, and second, you. I would probably tell you that you should get yourself a hand flick on the light. And yes, to make a bracha. According to that, so that person who asked me about going on the plane, I don't know if I told flick on a, not they might actually work, because there the fuel is kind of thing, but halach lemaisa, the more important.
I'm confused about that.
I hear that question. It works better. Okay, continuing with women and Hanukkah, what about this? Vidnohagos Hanashim, women, shalo la'asos malacha, but don't women have a custom not to do malacha while the candles are lighting, while the candles are lit. So I always thought the best move for any, let it last, right? So it's going to give you like a month and a half. And the Shulchan Aruch continues, you shouldn't be lenient on this. When their wives want to be machmer for that. The Mishabura actually says there are some places that men, and there's another minhag that is brought down that's not just while the candles are lit, it's all of Hanukkah. But that is rejected immediately, bring people to waste their lives. That women ought not do malacha while the candles are lit. So first, man chiyuv of the candles being lit. How do I know that? Because the Mishnah Berurah says that the reason why, where did this minhag come from? Why should women not do malacha during the candles being lit? So Mishnah Berurah says to demonstrate that you're not allowed to get hana or benefit from the light that it's being, that they're doing nothing. Obviously, he's saying I can't do anything. The logic was that you want to show me anything. Well, my friends, how long of this kicker's mind, that first half hour? After a half hour, we mentioned before, you could put the light out if you want. In the same way you could put the light out, you could equally derive benefit from those candles after the first half. Let's put two and two together. The reason why women ought not do malacha is good from the light. Two and two, creation of this minhag, that only for the first half hour is there a minhag. Women can, the kafachayim, who says that nothing to do with anything related to getting hana, not getting hana, it's just, this is a time for halal and hadah. So according to that logic, as long as the candles are lit, you're doing your halal and your hadah, and you're showing Hashem's miracles, so you shouldn't do malacha. But if you want to be a good, do so, but then you have to do Yes. Yes, that's true. The poskim do point out that it is no more chamor than chol hamoed. You're saying the things I enjoy so much can't be any more than chol hamoed, than the isur malacha of chol hamoed. So just like on chol hamoed, you could do all whatever things you could do on chol hamoed, especially cooking. So too, you could do things that involve cooking, preparing for meals. Although I did see brought down in one of the svarim that minag Yerushalayim, the women not do any malacha, even cooking. Answer is, the Mishnah Berurah writes, because they have, probably based on what we said before. Okay. Now let's go on and talk about where should we light. So, originally, where did we light? Originally, we lit, and this you're going to see very different things in Israel versus in America, but originally the halacha was, as the Shulchan Aruch writes in Tav 21, Ner Chanukah, manichal, you place it, al Pesach hasamach l'rishasarim. In many places in Europe, as opposed to in America, there were the old sort of a group of homes that were sent, there was an opening of that chatzer to the main street. So, all the old places, that's just how houses were built, or in cities, not in necessarily the suburbs, but in cities, you had a few houses around a courtyard, the courtyard that went to the street. So originally, the halacha was that you would place the candles at the threshold of the public thoroughfare, where it met the courtyard, where your bunch of houses were centered, where that was Chanukah in Bnei Brak. And then Yerushalayim, and I saw Yerushalayim had them like the menorah street edges, but in Bnei Brak that wasn't the case, because in Bnei Brak they followed the Chazanish. The Chazanish said that nowadays we don't use a chatzer, a courtyard, like they did in the olden days. The olden days, you had how many rooms to your cooking, you're playing, you're socializing? That was all in the chatzer. So then the chatzer was a significant place of living, so you should put it, they wrote chatzerim, I'm sorry, for chatzerot. We don't use our chatzerot like they used to. So continues the Shulchan Aruch. What happens if you don't live on the first floor? You live in an attic. The im hayad darba aliyah, that doesn't have its own private, all of us probably, manicho b'chalon hasamuch l'rishut hara. Once you put in the window, we have the other question of, so the machlokas with an am is 1.5 feet or 2 feet. So let's take, which way is cooler, a chumra. Let's say 1.5 feet. So that means 30 foot high menorah will be pasul. If you hold that, it's 2 feet per amah, so 40 feet, I'm sorry. 40 feet, you have to assume that every floor, if you look at an apartment building, and there are 6 stories, chabad menorah, less than 30 or 40 feet, lower than the third. What happens when we live in 6th floor? That means the top of my building is 5 feet. That means my window is probably around 55 feet. That's well over 20 amos. So how can I be yotze? So here the poskim say that, what is the Rishus HaRabim that I am above? Well, certainly the ground below 186th Street, but there's another Rishus HaRabim looking at my windows. Who are those? those peeping Toms across the road, right? Who are on the same height. So as long as they are on the same level or within 20 amos of my window, vertically, that's okay height-wise. If, however, the people opposite me only go up to the third floor and I'm on, let's say, the eighth floor or something like that, so that there's 20 amos of my window, that would be a problem. So halacha maisa, if you live opposite another building, that's relatively, that's what I'm thinking. That's definitely, what? The problem, you live over the river. Let me rephrase that. You hope there's shades. After we talk about how to place the menorah, we're not really going to go into it. The Shulchan Aruch says that you should put it in the doorway. As we mentioned before, the door, either the chatzer, the door of the house, put it on the left side of the door, so the mezuzah is on the right side of the door, and there's a you where your tzitzis is in the middle, so you're surrounded by mitzvahs on you, and to your right, and to your left, but no light in the doorways. Umihu, however, bizman hazeh, shekulonu, the Gemara already talks about, certain time it tells you where to light, and it says, what happens, b'shas ha-sakana, and it's interesting, what does the shas ha-sakana mean? There was some pagan holiday, the custom, and if they would find a fire in any place, he might not have that kind of shas ha-sakana, but over the ages, we all know that there were plenty of, it's very, very, it's just we're a little bit spoiled, areas of Jewish and Eretz Israel, in terms of where to place your menorah. In America, the Mi'ikr Hadin, people across the road in Golas, outside of Israel, is for the B'nai Habayis. And that's, first of all, if you live in a house where there's no, Ilana, this is no get to you, where there's no one who could see, or just no one could see wherever you're. The main hadlaka that we do is for the people in Kula that comes out. You all know that based on how late people are out on the streets. Ad Shatichla Regel Min Hashok is about, what does it mean? Tichla Regel Min Hashok, that the feet stop being scribed, called a Tarmu Da'i. People that they were the wood salesmen, the wood choppers, the wood salespeople. What would happen? I'd be at work until sundown. At sundown, I'd go home. It's still light at sundown. Start getting my fireplace ready so I could have light, supper and light during the nighttime. I'd realize, and those Talmud were out most late on the home. When they leave the streets, that's Tichla Regam and Hashuk. That's when people leave the streets. That halacha has changed drastically. 10 o'clock. In Brooklyn, where I grew up, where we live now, it's probably at least 1 o'clock. Avenues, it might be 3 o'clock all night long, in which case, you could light. However, that's not really no gad to us nowadays. Because nowadays, the main lighting that we do is for the people in our house. And I live in a place where there's no one on the streets at 3 o'clock in the morning. Since I can light for my B'nai Habayis in my that's right, he says it somewhere, that nowadays our lighting is primarily for the, here it is, the Mishnah Berurah in Tafresh Ayin Beis, in 672, the Mishnah Berurah Yud Aleph says that you can make a bracha nowadays for the people who are awake, for the people of your B'nai Habayis who are awake, and if you come to your house, and it's still any time before the crack of dawn, and your whole family is sleeping, min ha-nachon, it is appropriate, she-yak-hitzeim, to awaken them, kedei she-yuchal ha-hadlik divracha, to raise, I'm not sure, because apparently there's zero prisim menisa. Even if we assume you don't need prisim menisa to the whole neighborhood, that means you have to do an act yourself to do something, right? So that's the same thing, prisim menisa for yourself. That is correct. If you live by yourself, depends on my, I think on, but I appreciate you laughing. Even I want to end, there are a few more things I want to talk about, but I think it's more important to have questions. I just want to end with a very important halacha. Who here is, okay, so what do you made it into the Gemara, my friends. What is a guest called in Aramaic? Right, an achsanai stays in, an achsanai, chayav b'ner, in Maseches Shabbos says. Continues the Gemara, I won't go into the details. How does a guest fulfill the mitzvah of menorah? So the Gemara suggests, and the Shulchan Aruch writes, that what they should do is be mishtatef bipruta. They should join. Now what that means is, you buy a house owner's oil or wax, you have to pay rights to a portion of that oil, and therefore you will fulfill your obligation through his lighting. You are not. Mishnah Berurah does point out that nowadays it might be better that you should light your own menorah, but to him make the brachos, you'll answer amen, and that will be most of you. So the ideal way to fulfill all the opinions, it is awkward. I did do this, and it was awkward, and if you do it, it probably will be awkward. So it's good if you don't think so lucidly when they're rushed, and what might think of doing is the following. If they give it to you as a present, right? I could acquire a little bit of that oil. How do you acquire it? Everything will be kona. You'll acquire your that menorah, your share of the wax. So you'll pay him for it. Chances are you'll look cheaper. And beside that, you could light your own, and for the bracha. So that's three-step process. That's uncomfortable for you to do that, then your own. But if you could join in, not by getting a gift from him, be yotze with his brachos, and hopefully also take the other things that I wanted to talk about. Friday is you should daven mincha before you like not mention now. Yes, questions. So that's a big question, whether we define a person's home as their place where they sleep or place where they eat. And that's a very, depends on where you eat. That's your reason. So based on that, I would say, if you're eating in a restaurant, then you can't light, you should, A, before you light Shabbos candles, you should light your Chanukah lech. Because once you light your Shabbos candles, make sure that your Chanukah candles will last for one half. That means, let's say like this. Let's say, Shkia, Sunday, you want your candles to last a half hour, not after Shkia, but after Tzeta Kochavim clock. So you want your candles to last till 5. Your Shabbos candles you light at 11 minutes after 4. Shkiel, you want your candles to have at least an hour of oil or wax in them. Which means, by the way, you cannot be yotze Friday afternoon candles with the regular classical. If you only have a regular for a shamish, put a tea light. Okay, excellent. Is that once a mitzvah is obligatory, you're not supposed to get involved with other things. Chazal were worried that you might get swept away by those other things. So that is correct. Let's say, and I wanted to eat on the bus. I think that would still make...